The Mike Missinelli Show.
Mike Missinelli, 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like the sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where Haiti's the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like the opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Oh, good afternoon, everybody. What a day to talk sports. The Mike Missinelli Show on a Monday following the Sixers losing game one. And I know people are invested in this because you were invested in this the first 10 minutes of the damn game. My God, I've never seen anything like it. 10 minutes into the game, you're pronouncing the season's over. I don't know what makes people go that way, but you got to chill out here. You got to chill out. Here's what you got to know. This is a pretty good team you have here, all right? It's a good team. It's not going to get cracked by one game in a playoff series. It's just not. So just hang in there. All right, they lost the game, and it's not good, and we're going to analyze it 100 different ways today. So let's start with how do they lose game one? Well, this is game one. The other team basically has nothing to lose. They're coming in kind of free. They come in here, and the Sixers didn't match their energy. They didn't. Now, I don't know why they didn't. They should have been more prepared for the energy, but they didn't. They did not come out with that proper energy mindset. So, I don't know. What was it? Were they too comforted by the fact that they knew Embiid was going to play? Were they too hyped watching the Triple H, Joel, Bell ceremony thing? What was it, a bad game plan? I don't know what it was, but it's not that big of a deal here at the end of things. The coach made some mistakes. I mean, there's no way that they should not hunt Trae Young. They didn't decide to hunt him. They put Danny Green on him. I go, all right, well, you know. And his excuse after the game was Danny Green's done well with his length against smaller players. Well, this dude's like a jet. This is not like a smaller player. You got to hunt this dude. You got to make it uncomfortable for him. I mean, he was free to roam, make shots, distribute, throw floaters in there, and he cooked Danny Green. And he cooked him for like 19 points before you even wanted to change some things. So terrible coaching early on in the game by Doc Rivers. They're not going to make threes, Atlanta, like that all series long. They're just not. They make 12 threes a game. What did they make, 20? Yesterday?
Yeah.
They're not going to do that. They're not that type of team. All of a sudden, it's going to just destroy you making threes. They can shoot it a little bit. They make some threes. They make 12 a game. So, you know, it's an aberration more than was the norm for Atlanta. It happens in a playoff series. Now, at the end, let's focus on the end. They were like scared puppies, Atlanta, in the end of this game. See, you saw it. Put a little pressure on, a little heat. They changed their defensive structure. They turned the game around. They made up a monster deficit. Why? Because the other team felt cracked a little bit. And they start thinking, oh my God, that's not a team that's going to outlast you in a playoff series. That team looked like the way they closed that game out. They look like they can close out the 76ers in the series. So, like, I sit here today. I am not worried one bit. I'm not happy with the game. I'm not happy with the way they coached that game. But come on with this. And I think, like, if you saw the end, you got to feel the same way. But there was a disparity in opinion from the top of the game to the end of the game. You saw what Atlanta was at the end, right? And so the frustration that you saw thinking they were going to railroad this team, and blaming me, by the way, it's all my fault. I'm reading on social media. It's all my fault. I took them lightly. Come on, man. Let's get past this nonsense The Sixers are going to win this series. They're probably going to win it in six games. They're going to make some defensive changes. Now, the one thing I would like to see, and I tweeted it yesterday, if I'm Ben Simmons, I don't let myself be at the mercy of a coaching decision. Before that series starts, if I'm going to spend a lot of time convincing people I'm the best defensive player in the league, then I got to go up to Doc before this series and go, I got him. And now they're going to wind up doing it anyway. And so what you do is you spell Ben with the T Stiebel and you hunt the guy. So that's got to be the defensive strategy. And you cut off the head of the snake and you'll win the series easier. So there it is. Tyrone, you watched the game. I know you got a take on this. You weren't happy with the way Doc coached this game. But again, I don't come out of that game thinking that they're any more in trouble than I thought before the series.
No. They're going to still win the series. Like, I think there's people that are going, you took them. Like, no. Mm-hmm. No one said it was going to be a sweep. I didn't expect them to lose game one, mm-hmm. but I knew they were going to lose a game or two in the series because Atlanta is a better team than Washington. That was acknowledged. You left out the all-bench unit. That was stupid.
Was the other thing.
The
all-bench unit, there's no reason for it at this stage.
It makes no sense, and what you do is you end up having guys that can come in. If you're going against Trae Young, you start out with Simmons. Then off the bench, you have Thibel and Hill, two really good defensive players as options. But you don't put all those guys together all at the same time. That was a disaster. That was a 17-0 run. That's the game. If he, as bad as they played at times, even with the turnovers and everything else, if he just doesn't do that, or coaches, and doesn't just sit there and let them have a 17-0 run with that personnel there and stops it at 8-0,
I don't understand what he was thinking, except for the fact he thought the second unit would bring energy. This is the second round of the playoffs now.
Yeah.
You can't be thinking that.
No, and in totality, they were bad. And meanwhile, the Hawks bench played well. And when you look at the box score, because you got to watch the game and then you can look at the numbers after the fact, it's not a coincidence that every Sixer starter was a plus. Everybody on the Hawks starter except for one was a minus, and Bogdanovich was a zero. But the Hawks bench, because they needed it out, they took it in, they mixed and matched properly. By just putting them in all together at once, you're killing games sometimes. And that happened in the regular season, and it can happen in the regular season because you got to know how to lose. You can't do that in a playoff game.
No, you can't. And you got to listen, they learned a lesson in game one, okay? And they took a few things for granted. And Doc Rivers should know better to think that Danny Green could play him straight up because he just destroyed them. He destroyed him. And I'm watching the game. I go, what are you doing, man? Danny can't handle this guy. And they threw him off offensively, too, because he wasn't able to contribute offensively.
And then the other part is the Knicks, because they're easy to guard, they didn't make Trae Young have to play any defense, which did affect him because his legs did get more tired and did get tired some in the second half. He made certain shots, but he was not nearly as prolific as the game went on because he's a smaller guy. They didn't put him in one damn pick and roll the whole game.
No.
You have to put that. And I'm not saying Danny Green is some great pick and roll player. Mm-hmm. The point is you want to catch him on a switch and see if Tobias can go against him or Ben Simmons downhill or, hell, Joel Embiid. I don't care. Make Trae Young guard somebody.
Yeah, you got to do that. And you know, the other thing, you brought Tobias and he was timid in third quarter. I think he needed to be a little more assertive offensively in that third quarter. So you add all these things up, they learned a monster lesson. They're better than the Hawks. The Hawks are not going to shoot the same percentage of three-pointers or make as many three-pointers. And you saw them crack in the end. They're scared of that. Now, if the Sixers run at them defensively, you think guys like Herter and Bogdanovich is a nice player, I get it, but they're not going to kill you with those kind of shots that they made in game one.
And the other thing is, early, the Sixers missed a lot of open looks. The Hawks' defense was not good. You look at them, they shot 50-some percent as it was the Sixers, but they missed some threes early and made a lot more in the second half. I guarantee if they get those same open looks, the Sixers I'm talking about, they're going to make more of them in the second game because they got two 40% three-point shooters to start. There's a reason for that. Those guys have hit shots all year. They're going to hit enough shots in enough games because Atlanta defensively, you saw, and they have no answer for Joel Embiid. Forget about it. They have on one leg.
Yeah.
No hope. Capella has no hope.
No.
Like, he's at the mercy of Embiid.
Yeah. All right. So, like, listen, Tyler Zuli is with us today. Tyler, I know you were doing the post game.
Yes.
Yesterday. What were the people saying?
Well, it was actually more positive than I expected. I kind of expected to have more doom and gloom, sky is falling type.
Well, is it because they made the run?
Yeah, I think that it is. It's certainly salvaged.
My God, I couldn't believe I was living in this town at the beginning. People were thrown in the towel 10 minutes into a series.
But, it, you know, 19 turnovers throughout the game, and 9 of them came in the first quarter. So I think that there are things that you can take a look at and you can play off of. And, you know, I think the great decision and the great, I guess, X factor for game two is going to be, does Doc Rivers make those adjustments?
Yeah, well, he better, because as a coach, he wasn't ready for game one. So, you know, it's all laid out now, and we'll see how they come out tomorrow. All right, we'll go into a break, and we'll let the people talk today, because it's all about you today, what you saw. My God, these people early on. You took them lightly. I told you, there's no way the Hawks can win the series, huh?
This is 10 minutes into the game.
I was told also that the series was over. 10 minutes into the game that the series was over.
That's what I'm saying.
And then I said something to one guy, Mike, and the guy responded, I don't know what you're talking about, Tyrone. That guy's right. I'm like, are you kidding me? 10 minutes into one side. I said, I didn't even know if this game's over yet.
I swear to God, this town, you just got to sit on a block of ice when you feel this. When you feel this angst and when you want to throw the sky down, just sit on a block of ice and relax. It's a good team. They're number one seed for a reason.
Also, it was 12 turnovers in the first 14 minutes, 10 of them unforced. That's not going to happen again in game two.
They were sloppy. They weren't prepared. I think they thought this is okay. We're better. We show up with the uniforms. We win. And this is playoffs. That team's spunky. I'll give them that. They're spunky. They make shots. They move the ball. They make some shots. All right. Now it's out of the way. 610-632-0975. That's how you climb into the show. The Mike Mussinelli Show is back after this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
And also, I don't want to forget about your Fighting Phils, man. 2 or 3 day take from Washington, and not even a fallen net can deter them yesterday.
Like, I want to know, why did you take down that net? We know that the person in Philly who's more anti-net than anybody is Mike Miss. Yeah. And I think you're down there.
I snuck in there.
You see that there's not very many people. So they're not paying attention. It's only 15,000 people.
I snuck in there and I sniffed it.
You sniffed it. Because I literally would have felt, I said, what is Mike doing messing with the net?
The net behind the plate is necessary. I'm talking about the, as we go down, it blocks the view.
I think you snipped the wrong one. I truly believe you snipped the wrong one.
You know, listen, I didn't know how they were going to get that thing back. That's like a heavy cable wire situation. And somehow
they made some big knot, and
that's MacGyver-esque, man. I don't know how they figured that out.
Yeah, because they zoomed in on the knot after the fact. There was this big knot they figured. I'm glad they have a day off.
Yeah.
So they can work on that today before they come back tomorrow.
All right, so let me, I know I saw your tweets on poor Travis Jankowski.
He shouldn't be here anymore.
On Friday.
He shouldn't be here anymore.
Now, come on. Now, hold a second. Let me give you the other side of this. My man is a minor league journeyman, right?
Uh-huh.
He's just dying for a chance in the big leagues. All right, so he gets the chance in the big leagues. When you're that type of guy, you have to do something that stands out to impress them, right?
Uh-huh.
So I'm putting myself in the kid's head. He's on second base. He gets a pinch run second base. Nobody out. He pinch runs for Hoskins.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's thinking, oh my God, if I can only get to third base, do something good here. I'll get to third base with no outs, give us two chances to score that run. That's at least something I can contribute. So he sees the ball go in the dirt, and there's his chance to do it. And the ball doesn't skip away from the catcher. And so if you noticed, he was waiting for the catcher to throw the ball. The catcher did the right thing. Avila just ran right at him.
Right.
Because if you noticed,
He
faked the throw to second base, and Jankowski was going to make a mad dash to third when he did that.
Uh-huh.
At that point, he's stuck because the catcher holding the ball. You
still
there's nothing
have to
you can
run,
do.
But
the
you still have to run back to second.
The catcher outfoxed him.
Nah.
Well, what I'm saying, the poor kid is just dying to do something to contribute in the big league so he can at least the guy does do something in the big leagues. Don't you have any empathy for that kid?
All right, so same scenario. Tyler Zuli working on the Mike Massillo show. Big show, man. Big show. TV, radio, big show. You know, he feels like he's got to get noticed.
Tyler's already here.
No.
He's not up and
he's
down.
He's a journeyman. Tyler's a journeyman right now. He's not at the big game, big league
yet. Yeah, but I can't demote him to a lower station.
Now you can demote him to a lower shift. He won't be here tomorrow.
It's so, the same so station,
you,
no. though.
So you go.
It's still the big league.
So you still go to do your update. And for him to get noticed, instead of doing his update, he farts into the microphone. And that's what he did. Yeah, and that's the same thing.
Not the same thing.
Yeah, you don't stand
kid's
there.
On second base. He's not even on second base trying to take an extra base. It's not like he's farting into a microphone.
Why are you trying to take an extra base? It's no out.
Because
it's
he's
no
trying
out.
To get to third base to do something to
it's
help his
no
team.
Out.
So he can, like, say he's a big leaguer. I help my big Reese league team win. The guy's been in the minor leagues languishing for years trying to get up to the big leagues.
Reese Hoskins, leadoff double. All right, here we go. Here we go, buddy. Leadoff double. You're going to pitch run. Your job there is to just be fast on a hit. On a hit, be fast. You don't try. Wait, you should be trying to get to third anyway.
First, yes, you should. Stand, because if you get to third base with nobody out, you give your team an extra chance to score.
And how'd
run.
That work out for him?
Well, he's it didn't work froze. Out. I'm just telling
Make
you what's going on in mindset. Because if the ball goes in the dirt, he gets to third. People going, oh, it's a heads-up play by Jankowski getting to third base with nobody out. Now you got two chances to score him. Right, Tyler? You're a baseballer?
Yeah, I have no issue with him trying to be aggressive
trying
and trying
to
read the pitch
the
in the dirt.
He's a 29-year-old minor leaguer trying to do something.
I think the issue that
no
I have...
No empathy. No give, Tyrone, you have.
I have empathy for him.
You don't.
I don't want the kid to die.
Yeah, your empathy is, he should no longer be on the team.
Yeah.
That's your empathy?
His empathy should be, he's from Lehigh. He shouldn't have been allowed to answer questions. He should have been already on the bus back there. You
on,
gotta
man.
Make the catcher
you gotta
throw the ball.
Have
How
listen,
are you guys okay with
listen,
the first out?
Hold
that,
on
that's
second.
Basic baseball
listen,
stuff.
If you're a,
I would punish a 10-year-old for making that mistake.
If you're a major leaguer and you do something like that, then you're a bonehead. If you're
he's a
journeyman
leaguer.
Minor leaguer trying to do something, get to arrive, do something to stay up here, come on.
If they end up missing the playoffs by one game, y'all go ahead and say how great Jankowski was. Because that one game, dude. They could have won the game. They sweep them.
No,
if they missed the playoffs by one game.
This man has no give.
I do have give.
You have no give.
The catcher's running. All I'm saying is make the catcher throw it. Because maybe the throw's offline. Maybe they don't tag you. But instead, just stand there like a doofus.
Well,
I'm
the
trying to do something.
The catcher,
and you get
the
stand
catcher
there.
Paralyzed him. The catcher, he was waiting for the catcher to throw to either base so he can choose which base to run to.
I understand he's a local kid.
Let's go. I'm just saying. I don't care if he's a local kid or not. I have empathy for people languishing in the minor leagues, making nothing, trying to get to the big leagues, still trying to live out their dream. I got empathy for that.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
And our next guest joins us. Of course, she's the great Amy Fadul on NBC Sports Philly, and you see her on all the Sixers broadcasts. She's on the Comcast Business Hotline. Hello, Amy.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
Fantastic. Now, Amy, what kind of wheels were turning when you guys were witnessing the early part of this game?
There was a lot of, wow, didn't see this, a lot of that. You know, we kind of sit all up there together in the upstairs part of NBC Sports Philadelphia, and it's myself, Jim Lynham, Mark Jackson, and our producer, Brian Brennan. And every maybe other bucket, we were like, is this yeah, this is happening. Yes, we're watching this. This is currently happening. And you just kept thinking, I think like everybody at home, like, certainly something's going to stop. The bleeding is going to stop at some point. They're going to get a stop. Then they're going to go on a run of their own. And then, you know, the 12-0 run, 14-0, 6-17. All right, we're up to 17-0 run. Perfect. The bleeding is not stopping, and now they're down 26 points. So it was mind-boggling to really say the least. And at halftime, you know, you're thinking, well, just get it down to 15, and then it ballooned back up to 20. And that's, like, where the mindset was. It was like, let's just get it to 15. Get the Hawks lead to 15, because that's where we were at. But it was something. I was just talking to Ty, like, when that all bench unit came in, that was a head scratcher, because they stayed in and they kept staying in, and you're thinking, no, that's not, this isn't happening, right? He's not going with this again. Still, they're still here. All right, we're still watching it. Yeah, it's happening.
There were a couple head scratchers. The first head scratcher is that Danny Green was unfortunately getting cooked by Trae Young. And so, you know, you and I are watching, Tyron's watching it. Now, a guy like Mark Jackson played in the league, a guy like Jim Lynham, who's coached in the league. What was their reaction to that whole thing?
Well, I asked Jimmy, I was like, Jim, you know, what do you think about Danny Green? Certainly he's got to stop it. He goes, like, I guess he just figures, well, we're going to get his. So, you know, Trae Young's going to get his. We'll put our second best, you know, option on there as far as a starter, and then we'll try to limit everybody else. That was his only guess. You know, at that point, you're thinking, all right, well, Trae Young, it is going to score points. There's nothing you're going to do about it. But maybe at some point you might want to just limit him better than what you were limiting him, because it's like they conceded. All right, well, if you get 25 in the first half, we're good with that. Like, I don't know why you'd be good with that, but that was kind of, it seems like that was the mindset. You know, when we're talking about it, like, listen, Trae Young's going to get his. We'll shut down everybody else. You know, the problem is Trae Young got his and then some. He got everybody.
The good part of this whole thing is that the way the game was finished, the major lesson is, okay, we did a couple things really wrong, and we had to go too far uphill. So the first thing, they didn't match their energy early. Now, I don't know if they thought that this was going to be an easy series, or they relied the fact that Joel was back and everything was going to be comfortable. They also did not hunt Trae Young with Ben Simmons and others. And the third thing is, Atlanta's not going to make as many threes like that all series. And at the end, their true colors were they were scared to death. So, so what's your conclusion here?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit, you know, when you mentioned it, they're so reliant upon running the offense and everything, you know, positive offensively through Joel, and rightfully so. I mean, you know, obviously he's the MVP candidate, but when you've got a guy that's coming back from the injury that he has, and obviously, you know, they're going to ride him as much as they can. 38 minutes is a lot. It's a lot for him at any point, but that's a lot for a guy that's, you know, dealing with a knee injury. And you heard them afterwards, you know, we were hearing from Tobias Harris and Ben Simmons and these guys, and they were like, we didn't come out enough. We didn't do enough as a team. And it was like they were just going to sit back, let Joel do work, and they'll just kind of pick up, you know, the scraps, where that's not going to work. I don't think against this Hawks squad. The Hawks are not a terrible team. And I don't know that they underestimated them. I just think that they just thought, well, Joel's here, and that's going to be, we're going to be able to get through. We'll sustain anything that the Hawks bring. And that wasn't the case. As you mentioned, you know, they opened up that first quarter 78%, 60% shooting from three. I mean, that's not going to happen again. But I just think that this team, you know, it was a good wake-up call, but playing with that big lead, that Hawks team, I mean, if it's possible, they turtled up big time. I mean, that was interesting to watch. I'm thinking, my gosh, can you actually, like, lose this game? Yes, you can. You can lose this game. So that was a bit of their true colors. You know, they didn't really expect that, and then they couldn't. It showed me that they couldn't take the Sixers' punch. Unfortunately, the Sixers spotted them a 26th spot, so it didn't really matter in the end, because, you know, when you're getting down to it, you can't spot a team that many points. But the Sixers, when they made their punch, so to speak, because the Sixers talked afterwards, like Doc said it too, like, listen, the Hawks came out, punches in the mouth, and we took too long to recover. When the Sixers made their punch, the Hawks couldn't recover either, but unfortunately became, you know, it was the fourth quarter at that point, so it was too late. The good news is, like you said, like, if you talk to, like, Mark Jackson was really, he was almost positive. And I actually stopped him in postgame. I was like, you seem positive. He goes, I am. I was like, well, okay, tell me more. You're positive? And he goes, because of the way they ended it. He said, listen, they made a mistake. They stuck with the bench too long. Doc knows that. They know that they shouldn't have put Danny Green on as long, on Trae Young as long as they did. those are correctable mistakes. They recognize it. This wasn't about not having enough firepower or talent or coaching. There was a couple of missteps, and I think that the rest of us have maybe, you know, a little bit of like, we're shell-shocked because we've seen it before. We've seen this last year and 2 years ago and 3 years ago, and you're like, oh, God, you know, we've seen this before. And Mark was really positive because he thought the team that we saw, you know, in the fourth quarter, he goes, that's the team we're going to see game two, because we will not see the game, the team that was in the first quarter. And he said, he would be shocked. He said, I would eat his words on set if he absolutely saw them again.
Yeah, I actually agree with Mark. I mean, I looked at this and go, that other team is not ready to close out a good team in a series if right. They reacted like that in the end. So that leaves the Sixers to make their adjustments, and I assume one of the adjustments will be they'll take the chance on having Ben Simmons guard Trae Young early on, right?
Yes. I mean, and Ben talked about it, and I wondered, he's got a little bit more candid than I think that probably his coaches would allow, because he said, I hope the refs, you'll let me be more physical. That's obviously always going to be the case. It doesn't matter. If we saw some of the fouls. I mean, the foul that was the ghost foul on Matisse Thybulle, when the guy is taller than you, guarding you, the guy taller than you will draw the contact in the ref's minds, whether he draws it or not. I mean, they reviewed that call in the third quarter, and they mm-hmm. still upheld it. We're all looking at it going, he didn't even touch him. But in the ref's minds, when they see Ben Simmons on a guy like Trae Young, who's got him by, you know, 5 inches, 6 inches, it's the physical nature of it, and your reaction is, oh, he must, in order to guard him, he must foul him in your mind. So Ben has to really work within that premise of he has to be extra careful. So you're going to have to just live with some of the fouls. You know, Tobias said we got to put more bodies on him. They got to show him different looks. You saw that they had some good traps, certainly coming out of the halftime. You saw that they were trapped and certainly on the sideline. That's what you got to do. You got to get the ball out of his hands. Jimmy was talking about it. That guy's usage rate, Trae Young's usage rate is huge. You're looking at that Knicks series. He averaged 29 points and 10 assists. Or not, you know, almost 10 assists. That's a huge number of times that you're thinking about, on average, that guy has the ball in his hand when he's scoring at that clip, and then when he's assisting at that clip. You have to get the ball out of his hands, make other people beat you. John Collins isn't going to shoot like he did. Clint Capela is not going to be able to do what he did, because those guys didn't get frazzled until late in the game, because Trae Young was doing whatever he wanted. The ball was in his hands 90% of the time, because he's either scoring or assisting on the plays. He finished with 10 assists. So I think that those guys, when they talk about showing them different looks, showing them the trap, you know, forcing them different ways out of the pick and roll so he doesn't feel as comfortable. Trae Young looked like he was just, you know, at home.
Yeah.
He was enjoying whatever he wanted.
So that leads me to this. And we're talking to Amy Spadol, NBC Sports Philly. And Amy, like, there's people have suggested that maybe it would be a good idea to start Thybulle with this. And then you have Ben and Thybulle hunting Trae, and Danny Green comes off the bench. Now, that's radical, and I don't think Doc will do it, but what do you think of that?
Yeah, I don't mind that. I think that even if he doesn't start him, I would like to see him come in early. And you've seen that in past. Now, maybe not from the jump in the first quarter, but you've seen it maybe out of halftime, where they've needed to make adjustments right away, and they come out with that. Mark Jackson likes to call it the two condors at the top, because those guys put their arms out, Matisse Thybulle and Ben Simmons, at the top of the key. When the guy brings it over the timeline, it's distracting, because you're looking at, you know, 2 7-plus-foot wingspans, and you're thinking, where am I going to throw this ball? So it's just enough to confuse them. And if you can just get a couple of those, I think from the jump, get them off their game. They were so comfortable when they walked in here to the Wells Fargo Center, and all of a sudden it was like, oh, we got this. I want to get them uncomfortable. I want Trae Young to be uncomfortable. And if it means having Matisse Thybulle start, I don't know that that's going to be the case, because I don't think Doc's going to do it. But I like the idea of, all right, if they get too comfortable, that first time out, you know, 2 or 3 minutes in, Danny Green, you go sit down. Matisse Thybulle, you go in. Let's make Trae Young uncomfortable. Every time he touches the ball, I want you up in his face. And if it means that, you know, he gets in the foul trouble, then that's okay. You're not going to be giving up, you know, certain things with Matisse Thybulle that you would be giving up if Ben Simmons got in foul trouble.
All right, we shall see what happens. Game two. I'm calling Locke for the Sixers.
Yeah, I'm calling Locke too.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. Amy, always a pleasure. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate
thanks, Mike.
It. All right, it's Amy
Fadul.
Of course,
buddy. Thank you.
All right, Amy Fadul on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.